Now let's pray together. Heavenly Father, who loves us, you are holy and full of mercy. We lived far away from you inside our sins. We were lost, but you found us. The judgment and wrath we had to take was taken away by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by his blood shed on the cross, our sins were cleansed forever. And we are no longer bound to any judgment or wrath. We were saved without any works from our side. You made us your children and gave us the eternal and glorious hope to enter your kingdom of heaven. And for all your grace, we praise you, we give you thanks and glorify you. In this time, saved by your precious blood, we are gathered here together. We learn your grace and praise your love. We learn your holy word. Now we thank you for allowing us to be inside this fellowship where you are within. In this time as well, we know that you are with us, and you look after each and every one of us gathered here. With your merciful hands, hold us tightly. We thank you for everything. Please look after each and every one of us and provide us with your truth and spirit and love. Make us perfect every day. Let us stand strongly inside you and live as your righteous children in this world. We know that you are coming soon. Let us stand without embarrassment in front of your glory. And weeks ago, there was the fall retreat, and we thank you for saving many lost souls. And soon, we have the last Grand Bible Seminar starting. Please work with us and be with us that more souls can be saved. And for this retreat, please, for this seminar, use each and every one of us. All over the country and all over the world, there are many churches. And let us fulfill our mission to preach your gospel. Please help us with your word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Please use each and every one of us for your holy works. Father, please allow more peace and liberty to this country, to this people. In these end times, you've allowed us to preach the gospel. Please let us lead lost souls in front of you, and let us fulfill your works for the world mission. Please help us and protect us. And to those with power in this world, the rulers of this world, let them know you. And let them have your wisdom so that they may rule over the country with your wisdom. And also in these end times, let us fulfill all the works you will to do. Please use us, we pray. There are brothers and sisters who couldn't be here today. To those who are sick, Lord, please recover them quickly. Let them live their remaining life for your will and glory. And also to those who are in their weaknesses, temptations, and difficult situations, Father, hold them with your power and your spirit so that no one will stumble down. Give us your word according to due season, and let us know how we have to live. In this time as well, open your word and let us know the message you want to give us today. Let us understand your word. And also, give us the wisdom to know your will, and give us the power and courage and strength to live as your children. We pray it in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's do responsorial reading. We'll read by turns in Psalms. Psalms chapter 84. Psalms chapter 84. We will read by turns, one verse each, from verse 1 to the end. Psalms 84, from verse 1 to the end. I'll read first, then we'll go by turns. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now the choir will praise the Lord. Now let's open the Bible. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Okay. In the last week, we had the fall retreat. And many brothers and sisters prayed and also gave their service to save lost souls. Thank you. There were about 5,400 people who registered for the fall retreat, and I believe many people would have been saved by the prayer and also the sacrifice to save at least one soul. Many brothers sacrificed and prayed, and I believe God worked with us. And there were 196 people who received baptism in this fall retreat. And at the fall retreat, there was offerings given for the retreat center. And that's about 50 million won. And the 560 people from Seoul Central Church registered for the fall retreat. And 133 people were newcomers for the fall retreat from Seoul Central Church. At the summer retreat, we built a new building, a few new buildings, and we have a better environment to listen to the gospel. And we know that many people came and many people were saved. But still, there is not enough accommodation in the retreat center. So as soon as you enter the retreat center, on your right, there's an old building called we call that building the Tyrannus building. It's kind of old and not really a firm building, so we tore the building down and are going to build a new building there that could be used for accommodation. Please pray and work together for that as well. At each retreat, our brothers and sisters give offerings. And of course, to build up buildings, it's not enough with the offerings given like that. But all over the country, there are many brothers and sisters vowing to give offerings for the for building up new buildings. And now we are trying to build another building for accommodation. And for those of you who want to participate, please pray and work together for the new building. And also in Seoul Central Church, a week later, we have our Grand Bible Seminar. At fall, everything becomes ripe, and it's the time for harvest. And for the past few weeks, there were a lot of typhoons in Korea. We've seen big typhoons. There were two recently. And all the farmers that do farming had a lot of trouble because of the typhoons. The harvest was ruined and submerged underwater. But the farmers and also everybody else did their best trying to save what is remaining, and they are doing the harvest of what is left. And it is actually the same for us Christians. We are at the end times of this world. It is time for harvest, and soon harvest time will be over. And then there will be the cold winter coming with a lot of winter storms. Before that time comes, we have to harvest. Before the time of grace comes to an end, we have to do our best to save at least one more soul. We have to pray more and sacrifice more to save souls. As we talked about it last time, the reason that born-again Christians are living in this world is to preach the gospel of God, so that more souls can be saved. Those who are not born again are living this world to be saved. Our flesh, our body, is protected by God, you know? If God does not protect us, our life will come to an end anytime. You don't know what will happen in a day. Do not boast about tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to go somewhere and do business for a year. But the Bible says you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Your life is like a vapor that disappears. The plans of men is like vapor. It just disappears a little later. That's our life. So, if it's God's will, we will live. If it is God's will, we should die. If God wants us to do this, we do that. If He doesn't want us to do that, we don't do it. So, Christians, do not neglect the Word of God. We always try to remember the Word of God. God still rules over history, and He lets us live because He is suffering long so that at least one more soul can be saved. He is waiting a day like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. He saves people through born-again Christians. So, to fulfill the works of God, born-again Christians are living in this world. We should never forget. If Christians forget about their purpose, if we forget about the reason we are living in this world, then nobody will be able to be saved, and it will not be possible to fulfill the will of God. So, in these end times, in these last opportunities to preach the gospel, look around. There are families, friends, and neighbors who are not saved yet. We have to preach this gospel to those who are not saved yet. We have to do our best. Whether we have a retreat or a Bible seminar, we do our best to preach the gospel and save souls. And people are saved not because the preacher does a good job, not because the pastor in front does a good job. Of course, the pastor has to preach the true word of God, but by the help of the church, by the help of everybody, saving a soul is possible. If there is no help of the church and the Holy Spirit, nobody could save a soul. So saving a person's soul is not only the job of a pastor. It's not done by one person. Each and every one of us is a preacher. We should always remember. The reason I am alive in this world, the reason that God lets me live, we should never forget. In order to fulfill the great works of God, we have to do our best. So the farmers give a lot of effort to bear fruit and to harvest. They go through a lot, right? The prophets prophesied Jesus died and resurrected and finished salvation. And many workers of God, many born-again Christians, even died for this gospel. And as a result, this gospel is preached all the way down to us. And we should not make their labor in vain. We should preach this gospel. It says, look, the fields are white, it's time for harvest. We should preach this gospel. And it's just time for harvest. We just reap, and that's it. We could just preach, and people will be saved. But if we are lazy in preaching the gospel, you know, the people of the world, they do evil things. That's sin. But what about Christians? Christians know they have to do good, but if they don't do good, that is a sin. Knowing good and not doing it is a sin. That's what it says in James 4:17. Oh, I didn't do a bad thing. I didn't sin. Don't think like that. There is something good we can do. If we don't do it, that is a sin. The greatest good we can do is saving a lost soul. That's what the Bible says. So, even this time as well, I hope that each and every one of you participate together and work together for the great works of God to save souls. You know, now, for those of you who are newly born again, I prepared this sermon. Whenever I am standing here, I think about those who are newly born again, not those who've been born again for quite a while. Even if you've been saved a long time ago, there are still those who are still young in the faith. So I prepared this sermon for those of you who are newly born again or weak in faith. You know, the preacher learns the Bible, and it's important to preach very difficult messages in the Bible as well. But the number one thing is that a person should be born again. And then there are basic elements in the Bible that born-again Christians need to know. Those Bible's verses which are crucial for a soul to grow up. So I want to just continue going on with the lessons that could grow our faith. Many people know the Bible, but they do not obey the Bible. They are so weak in obeying the Bible. Why? Because their faith does not grow up. They are not grown up in their faith. Even little children, they do good things. They have to do good things. But they don't have the power to do good things, right? They're just too little and weak. Even if a Christian knows the Bible well, if he can't obey, he does not have the strength. His faith is too weak. Before salvation, we have the old nature. That old nature, sinful nature, is so strong. So it blocks the Holy Spirit from making us live as a Christian. So, we need to desire to live like a Christian, and we have to learn the Bible for that purpose. So, for those of you who are newly born again, and those of you who are yet weak in your faith, we should keep on learning about what it is to live as a Christian. So today's topic is the status and life of born-again Christians. If you're not born again, you're not a true Christian. You have to be born again. So if somebody says Christian, people of the world think, oh, people who go to the church. But that's not it. A Christian is a person who is born again, who has the Holy Spirit living inside. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are not His. The status of a born-again Christian, and there is a life that is right for that status. People are born the same, but they live a different life, right? Even if you're born as the same human, you have a different life. You have a different status. Somebody is born as a prince, the son of a king. Somebody is born as a son of a very rich person, or a son of a politician. Or there are people who grow up and become a scientist. Somebody becomes a politician. And some people, they become the founder of a great company. Some people grow up to be a teacher, a soldier. Now, we could call that a status of a person, right? According to a person's status, there is a life that person has to live, right? For example, if there is a prince, he's the son of a king, the prince receives the education to become a king, right? You know, in the U.S., there's the famous president, John F. Kennedy. And Kennedy, from his childhood, he receives education to become a president, you know? The prince can become a king, so he receives special education. The prince can't live however he wants to, right? He needs to have better knowledge and talent than other people. He needs to have the right attitude. But that doesn't happen just like that. He needs to be educated. That's the same for politicians, scientists, businessmen. You don't just become somebody just like that. You have to be educated. You have to be trained to become like that. You have to train and learn of what you want to be. And then you could become an expert. Nobody can just become a politician just like that. If somebody who doesn't deserve to be a politician becomes one, he could ruin the country. So what is the status of a Christian? It's not easy. It's not simple. I'll talk about that, and then I'll talk about how should a Christian live. Don't just say that you're a born-again Christian. Think about your status. It's an amazing thing, and we have to live a life as a Christian. We have to live up to our status, okay? So we're going to learn about those one by one as much as time allows today. First, Christians are born-again people, right? John chapter 3, verse 3 says, "And he said to them, Now, Nicodemus was a very famous and respected teacher of the Jews, and Jesus told Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is not only said to Nicodemus. Man is created for a purpose. There is a purpose that every person is born. There is the will of God for each and every person. He wants to give God's love. He wants to make everybody his children so that everybody could be in heaven together and have glory forever. God created man so that man can become like God. But man committed sin, lost the image of God, lost the life of God. Man was lost, far away from God. Instead of the heaven that was made for man, man is bound to go to hell, which is prepared for Satan. Man committed sin, was lost, is far away from God, and cannot receive all the blessings of God. But God did not leave man as an orphan. God does the work of saving sinners. That is making a sinner a citizen of heaven. You know, animals are born to be caught and killed. That's what 2 Peter chapter 2 says. Whether he dies or is eaten up by man, that's the fate of an animal. Animals are made for man. Whether a person eats it or makes it a pet, whatever, it has no more purpose than that. But what about man? Man is created after God's image. Man was made for God's will and God's purpose. That's why God made man after God's image. Man was made for a purpose. God does not want anybody to go to hell. He wants to save everybody. He wants everybody to go to heaven. But there is one condition to go to heaven. You must be born again. Most assuredly, I say to you, when Jesus says most assuredly, he emphasizes the most important truth. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In order to see the kingdom of God, man has one condition. Man was made to enter the kingdom of God. There's one way. You have to be born again. You have to be born again. What is made of flesh is of flesh. What is of spirit is of the spirit. We are born from our parents by flesh. We are born of the flesh and live by the flesh. But what about the spirit? The spirit is dead because of our trespasses and iniquities. We are far away from God in our soul. But when that spirit is saved, it is born again. When we are born again, we become the children of God. We can enter the kingdom of heaven. We receive that privilege. So, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And also, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Seeing the kingdom or entering the kingdom, it's the same thing. When we live in this world, we see heaven with the eyes of faith, and those who can see heaven with the eyes of faith can enter the kingdom of God. You have to be born again of water and spirit. Many people misunderstand this verse, but water and spirit, some people say, oh, you have to shed a lot of tears and cry. And if you receive something hot entering yourself, you receive the spirit. But that's all wrong. Water, they say that is, water is like being baptized, the spirit is receiving some kind of spirit. No, it's the same thing. The two are the same. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So 1 Peter talks about how you can be born again, how you should live as a born again. So, you were born again by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Water talks about the judgment of God. Water is the judgment of God. Water is cold. It talks about the justice and righteousness of God. Water is the judgment of God. Think about Noah's flood. God judged with the water. It was his righteous judgment. This is righteousness of God judging sinners. That is water. When the Israelites escaped from Egypt, they went through slavery for about 400 years and came out by the power of God and crossed the Red Sea. And that was called baptism in the Bible, you know? And the Egyptian army, they followed them to the Red Sea. They all died in water. And that is also water, the judgment of God. But for the wages of sin is death. But the blessings of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. It is judgment. The flesh dies. Not only the flesh dies, but after death, there is judgment, the second death. They go to hell. That is the wage of sin. But what about the grace of God? The grace of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were born again. What does that mean? By the death of Jesus Christ, our sins were cleansed. That is also water. By the resurrection of Christ, Jesus gives us new life. That is the Holy Spirit that He gives us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Jesus died and took away our sins, and He has a new life that does not die ever again. The new life is the Holy Spirit. The water and the Spirit is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, a judgment and forgiveness. Death and resurrection. You know, if you look in the Bible, you see that Jesus was baptized. Why was He baptized? He has no sin. It is a shadow of Jesus dying and resurrecting. Going down to the water talks about the death and burial, a funeral of Jesus, and coming back up to the water is His resurrection. And the heavens opening and the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove represents that the relationship of man and God has been recovered. Man can be with God. The way to God has opened. And what did God say when the Holy Spirit came down? "This is My beloved Son. He pleases Me." Jesus died and resurrected and gives us a new life. And also in Romans 4 verse 25 it says, "Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." Jesus died and the judgment to our sins is finished. And He was raised because of our justification, for our righteousness. We believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is judgment and new life. In Romans, it talks about believing in the resurrection of Christ, we received salvation. We believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The name Jesus has the meaning of salvation. And what do we believe in Jesus? We believe in the death of Jesus. We believe that by His death, our sins were forgiven forever. The judgment is over. And by His resurrection, we believe we received a new life. The sinner is dead. The new man is alive. The just man is alive. Those who know that and believe that and accepted that receive baptism. If a person who is not born again receives baptism, it's just like not graduating and receiving PhD. Somebody says, "Oh, I'm a doctor. I have a PhD, but he never was educated. He never learned. A person who is not born again but baptized, it means nothing. It's just like not going to school and receiving a graduation ticket. So, the death and resurrection of Christ is water and spirit. That is what Jesus is talking about. And also, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says that, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." And also in verse 25, it says, "Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." When we were born again by water and spirit, by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the word of God. It's the same thing, okay? the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By judgment and new life, we were born again. From the day you listened to the gospel and truly received the gospel, there's a day, right? So, being born again by the Word of God, the Word of God is this gospel, you know? When you listen to the gospel and learn and accept the grace of God, you're born again. So, those who are born again are now living a new life. They are born again, have a new life, born of the Holy Spirit. They are born again as the children of God, okay? Now, you have to know how amazing being born again is. Our flesh, our body, when we are born, from that day we start to die, you know? And a few years later, a few dozen years later, we die and go back to the dust. We are born once. We are born to die, yeah, but we are born to be born again. But if you are born and cannot be born again, Jesus said, that person, it would have been better if he was not born at all. If you were not born, you don't go to hell. Those who are not born again, it's a very sad thing they live. You know, animals, they live and die. That's it. Death, and it is it. But man, if you die, that is not the end. After this, the judgment. There is the second death, the lake of fire. So, now, when we are born again, we are born again as the children of God. We are born once with this flesh, and our flesh has a limited life. But those who are born again as the children of God, you're born again, receive the Holy Spirit, receive eternal life, it's the same thing. We are born again as a life that does not die anymore. Even in Romans, the resurrected Christ says, no longer can death rule over him. We are born again with a life that does not die anymore. We receive the same life as Jesus so that death cannot rule over us anymore. In order to let us live forever with God, God gave us eternal life. So the flesh will die one day, but those who are born again will not die. I give them eternal life, they will not perish anymore. A born-again Christian does not go to hell, does not perish. So being born again is a very surprising and amazing thing. Now, a born-again Christian, a person who is saved, if he does not know how great their salvation is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2 verse 3. There are people who don't know how great our salvation is. So we should learn the Bible and learn more about how great our salvation is. So God gave his only begotten Son to die for us. That's how he saved us, right? There's no other way. Why would God give his only Son to die for us? That is a very big thing, right? Nobody pays a very expensive price for something that is worthless. Our salvation is that big. In James chapter 2, it says that we are the first of his creation. It says that of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James 1:18. And also in 1 Corinthians, it says the first Adam became a living spirit. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. You know, in Genesis, it says God breathed and man became a living being, right? But the soul that sins is dead. Adam did not obey God. God said, the day you eat from that forbidden fruit, you're going to die. What did die? What died that day? The spirit died when Adam ate that forbidden fruit. The connection with God was broken, disconnected. Let's say you have a smartphone and you can't call with it. Then the phone is dead. It lost its function. Man is made to have fellowship with God, to have the life of God, to live forever together with God. That is why God made man after his image. But by sin, the connection with God was disconnected. The life is over. Man lost the privilege to go to heaven by sin. The first Adam was a living being but died. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. He came to take away the sin of the whole world at the cross. He died for our sins and he resurrected. Regardless with sin, he was raised to give us a new life, a new soul, an eternal life. So Jesus became a life-giving spirit. And also in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that all men died in Adam. Just like all died in Adam, everybody will be raised in Christ. In Christ, our soul was resurrected, and also our flesh will be made alive. So when Jesus resurrected, he gave us the life of resurrection. The flesh of Christ resurrected, right? That is a shadow of our life receiving a new body. It is a shadow of showing us that our flesh, although it may die, will be transformed into his glorious body. So inside being born again, there is a death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, judgment and new life. The dead life, dead by Adam, was saved by the life-giving spirit Jesus. All these are connected in salvation. So in Ephesians it says, your souls dead by your trespasses and iniquities were made alive. Our dead souls were revived when we were saved. And also, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Read together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, if anyone, it is anyone, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's no limitation here. It says anyone. Those who believe in predestination say only those who have been predestined to be saved are saved. That does not make sense. That makes God an irony. Some people are bound to heaven and some people are bound to hell. There's nobody who was made to go to hell. God wants everybody to be saved, everybody to know the truth, and he wants everybody to be saved. He gave salvation to everybody who accepts it. It says anyone. If anyone means everyone. There is no race here. There is no discrimination of status. Whether you are good or evil, it doesn't matter. It says anyone. There is nobody who cannot be saved because he has so many sins. Why? Because God's love is greater. Because the works of Jesus' cross is bigger. The works of Jesus on the cross can save the worst sinner in this world. So, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Being inside Christ. You know, in the New Testament has this expression a lot, in Christ. If you look at Ephesians 1, it says, He chose us in Christ before the creation. There was only Christ before creation. Before creation, God knew that man will commit sin. He knew that man will go to hell because of his sin. So before creation, he planned in advance to save man. He did not predestine an individual. He predestined the church in Christ. So if you come to his salvation, you come to the love, you can be saved. You can be his children. You can receive all the blessings of God if you come in Christ. And also in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In him means that when we believe, Jesus came inside me and I came inside Christ. We are united. You know, when somebody is married, when there is marriage, a man and woman are united together. When we are saved, we are united by his grace and life. We go inside Jesus, he comes inside us. By faith, we are united together with Christ. So in John chapter 14, it says, in that day you will know that I am in you and you in me. What is that day? When is that day? The Lord is always inside me and I am inside the Lord. There are lyrics like that in the hymns. I am in the Lord is in me. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, those are one with the Lord. The branch is abiding in the vineyard, in the vine. The branch and the vine cannot be disconnected, right? We are made one by his death and resurrection. By the death of Jesus, our sins were cleansed. By his resurrection, we received new life. Jesus ascended to heaven, that is a shadow of us going to heaven. We are made one with Christ. You know, if you look at the, if you go to the blacksmith, they make all kinds of stuff, right? A hoe or a sickle. The blacksmith puts in the fire, it becomes it becomes red, right? And there is this fiery iron, right? The fire is in the iron is inside the fire. They cannot be separated. It is iron, it's steel, but there is fire inside. If you put it somewhere, it burns, that's fire. So if it's only fire, it's like steel, right? I am in the Lord is in me. We are made one. This is a very surprising thing, you know? So, being saved means a lot of things. It means that the grace of Jesus is mine. The life of Jesus is mine. Jesus is inside me. I am in Jesus. We are united. By his death, we are united. we are united also with his resurrection. That's what Romans chapter 6 says. So inside Christ means that when we believe, when we are saved, the Lord is inside me. Everything of Jesus is mine. It's mine. So all those who are in Christ are a new creation. You know this Bible very well. You know this verse very well. Do you know how amazing this verse is? If we are in Christ, we are saved. We have eternal life. At the same time, we are a new creation. We are a new creation in Christ. If we look at Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." He created the heavens and the earth, and also on this earth, there are millions of plants, about a million kinds of animals. He made everything. And God created man after his image. But, in Genesis chapter 1, the creation is not perfect. Do you know that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you look at Revelation 21, Apostle John said, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This world is the first heaven and the first earth, and it will pass away. It was not made perfect. It was not made to last forever. This world was made to pass away. Everything inside this earth is also not perfect. Man is created after God's image, but we did not receive the life of God yet. We did not become the Son of God yet. We did not receive eternal life yet when we were born. We were made imperfectly. We are made imperfectly to become perfect. That's the purpose that we were born. This earth we live in, it was not made for man to live forever. This earth was made for the gospel to be preached to the ends of the earth. When everybody is saved, everybody God wants is saved, then this earth will pass away. This earth was made with a limit. This first heaven and first earth will pass away. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The new heaven and earth is an eternal place, a place with no sin, no sadness, no pain. It is a place glorious and holy like God. It is the perfect heaven, the perfect earth. We live in the first heaven and the first earth. God created it, but it is not perfect. We are living in an imperfect world. It will pass away. So in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, all the world will pass away. It will become weary. It will wither away. But the new heaven and the new earth will not wither away. It will last forever. It is glorious. It is a perfect world. So man is created after God's image, but man is not perfect, right? We can become like God or can become like the devil. We can have eternal life or eternal death. So we are in the middle, right? This earth is not heaven or hell. It's kind of in the middle. While we live in the world, we taste heaven, we taste hell. But the eternal world is an eternal world and will be divided into two. So a new creation talks about something. The first heaven, the first earth, is not perfect as a limit. So God created a new creation that will last forever. We are a new creation in Christ. Who? We. We born-again Christians are a new creation, a masterpiece. Our flesh is also God's masterpiece. If you look at Psalms 119, it says, "You made me in my mother's womb." Our flesh was made fearfully and wonderfully. That's right. When we look at our bodies, it's very amazing. And it's like a masterpiece of God. But this flesh does not last forever. When we were born again, we became a new creation. The children of God, we received a new life. A born-again creation is a completely new creation in God. It says, "All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." What are the old things? The old things before we were born again. We were born in sin. We live towards death. We are bound to judgment and wrath of God. Man is born in this world, has a lot of desires, a lot of lust. Even if man has everything, he slowly dies and finally dies, and everything is the end. That is not perfect. So, all things have passed away. When you're born again, the old things have passed away. It's it. The end. The destiny inside Adam finished. The destiny to go to hell is finished. We are newly born again as the children of God. We received a new life, an eternal life. We can go to heaven. God created us as a new creation when we were born again. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. The old life have passed away. Just like the first heaven and first earth has passed away, our old life passes away. To go to the new heaven, the new earth, we have to become a new creation. A man born in sin, living in sin, cannot go to heaven like that. Even if somebody is morally nice, religiously holy, he cannot go to heaven like that. What is born of flesh is flesh. Committing sin is flesh. Doing good, it is still flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Being born of God is spirit. So, a born-again Christian can go to the new heaven and new earth because we are a new creation God made. What do you think? Isn't this very amazing? This is an amazing verse. A new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, our sins are gone. We have a new life in Christ. We will no longer die again. We have a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, read together. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, we are born-again Christians. We do not lose heart. This verse is for born-agains. We do not lose heart. You know, after I was born again, I think about, if I was not born again, what a poor guy I would be. I would live such a bad life. When I think about it, it's, bad. There are so few who are born again, and I am one of them. Little flock, do not be afraid. Your father is happy to give you that day. And his country. God made us his children. He let us be born again. But the people of the world, they don't know God. They don't know what eternal life is. They have no true hope. They just live towards death. They could die any day. You know, there are many times you may have died. It happens to everybody. And one day we will all finally die, right? It would be nice if that is the end, but there is a hell. And people will be surprised to know that there is a hell. But anyway, those who do not have hope, Oh, it's so bad. You know, living every day is not actually living, it's dying every day. Death comes closer every day. Why do people fear about death? They think everything comes to an end. You know, Christians do not fear death. When we are saved, we do not fear death anymore. That's why he saved us. Satan gives sin and fear to the dead. And he makes those who are not born again be slaves of sin. But we born again Christians do not fear dying. You're not afraid of dying. Those who die in the Lord are blessed. God values the death of saints. No. Death for a Christian means the end of pain and the start of happiness, right? Oh, do you know that saying? If you live a day in this world, shortly you live a day longer in heaven, right? What do you think is better, living long in this world or going to heaven? Huh? You don't know? You know, honestly, I want to go to heaven quickly. I really think about that sometimes. I want to just go to heaven. The old things have passed away. I saw a new heaven and new earth, the first earth and the first heaven passed away. There will be no tears anymore, no pain. All things, old things have passed away. But people don't know about that, so even born-again Christians may fear death. Don't be afraid about dying if you're born again. If you're afraid, what should you be afraid of? You should be afraid of not living a right Christian life. We should be afraid of not living as a Christian. Just dying is not something to fear about. So, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So our outward man is an old man dying every day. We grow old and weary. Yet the outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The inward man, the soul that is born again by God, is being renewed day by day. After we are born again, our soul soars up to heaven every day. We are renewed. We receive strength every day. So after we are born again, our outward man is perishing, but our heart doesn't. We are renewed every day. Our soul is renewed every day. The outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Day by day, the old things have passed away. Behold, a new creation. We are made as a new creation. How are we renewed day by day? Being a new creation means that we have the privilege to go to heaven. We still have our flesh. We still have our sinful nature remaining. It would be nice if we just go boom and become a new person with a new flesh, but we still have this old flesh. We still have this old sinful nature. So we have to prepare to enter the kingdom of heaven. Our inward man should be renewed every day. Day by day. We should be renewed. When a little baby is born, he is born as a person, but even the doggy is crawling, the baby is crawling together, pooing together, eating everything on the ground together. He has no embarrassment, but as the baby grows up, there is a difference between man and animal, right? Even a beast, even a tiger and a puppy are the same when they are little, but as they grow up, the beast becomes a fierce beast. Man is born as a sinner. So, I was born in my iniquities, the Bible says. And also the Bible says, the evil is astray from his birth. So we are born as sinners. The animal has the animal instinct. Man has man's instinct. What is it? Committing sin. We have that sinful nature when we are born. But after we are born again, it would be nice if all of our sinful nature is gone. Well, our salvation is perfect. We are a new creation. We have the privilege to go to heaven. But, before we go to heaven, we have to prepare to go to heaven. Our inward man has to be renewed day by day. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And verse 17, read together. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, this verse was written by Apostle Paul. You know Apostle Paul? He went through so much affliction. He was persecuted. He was beaten up all the time. He was imprisoned so many times. He nearly died so many times. He was hungry. He was cold. And finally, his head was cut off and then he died. So when we read this verse, we should think about Apostle Paul. Think about his position. His outward man is perishing. He went through so much affliction. He was beaten up. He was hungry so many times. He was just like being dragged to death. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Apostle Paul was at the verge of death so many times, but he was happy about that. He said, I fought the good fight, I kept my faith, and now I have a crown of righteousness prepared for me. Oh, finally, it's my time to go to heaven. It's my time to meet Jesus now. In Acts chapter 16, you know, Apostle Paul was preaching in Philippi. He was beaten up, imprisoned. He had chains on himself. In the deep prisons, there was Paul and Silas. What did he do? Did he cry out and cry? No, he praised the Lord. He prayed and praised the Lord in prison, in chains. When do we praise the Lord? When we're happy, right? He was beaten up, his body was soaring, he was bleeding, he was in chains, he was in the prison cell full of mold and with a lot of rats, but he's praising, he's singing. Paul used to go after Christians and persecute them to kill them. But this Paul was saved and he was happy to be a preacher of the gospel. He was happy to be afflicted for the sake of Christ. If you are persecuted because of Jesus, you should be happy. You will be blessed for that. The Bible says you will be blessed if you are persecuted for His name. Be happy! Rejoice! Your reward is great in heaven! All those before you were persecuted like this. Everything you do for yourself could be a curse, but after you're born again, whatever you do, whether you're persecuted, whether you live or die, whatever you do for God, it's the best thing. Oh, a sinner like me, if I could live for God, that's the greatest blessing. If I could have affliction for God, that is a glorious thing. To be glorified with the Lord, we should suffer with Him. No problem. Was Paul hungry and naked because God did not have the power to help him? Did he die in affliction because God does not have power? No. God gives you the strength to win against affliction. It's not that God blocks all suffering. He helps you in the sufferings. In John chapter 17, the night before Jesus died, he had a long prayer. Jesus prayed. He prayed that they will be protected in this world so that they don't fall in evil. Jesus did not pray that you should take them out of the world. But that we may live in this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Some people say when they have affliction, "Oh God, do you forsake me? Why do you give me this difficulty? Why do you make me sick?" But think about Paul. Paul had so much grace and blessings from God. So God gave him a sickness, a disease. The Bible doesn't say what kind of sickness he had, but if you look at Galatians chapter 1, it says, "There is something in my body that tests you, but you did not despise me." Some people say maybe his face was ugly, his body had a lot of sickness, you go close to him, he stinks. Well, the person is nice, but if somebody is stinky and has disease, you don't want to go next to that person. And Paul said that he had sickness. But still, the church, the Galatian church, was nice with him. They were able to pluck out their eyes for Paul. Apostle Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament, and he did not write it, but somebody wrote for him all the time. So sometimes there's the expression that Apostle Paul wrote with big letters with his own hand. It's just a small piece of a leather that he writes on. So if you write in big letters, it means that Apostle Paul had bad eyesight. Apostle Paul prayed 3 times because of his sickness, but he got his answer: "My grace is great for you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." He got this answer. So Apostle Paul was happy in his weakness and affliction because "my strength is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, I am strong." When he was weak, he saw the great power and strength of God. We should think about that too. So anyway, we are a new creation in Christ, and we have to be renewed day by day. "Behold, the old things have passed. Behold, a new creation." Behold, it's just like admiring, right? All things have become new. Behold. And when we say behold, look, it means concentrate, look, focus. "Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Look, behold, there's something to look at. There's something we should show. Born-again Christians may say, "I'm born again. I have a new spirit. I'm a new creation." That's good. But something we should boast about is our changed life after we're born again. When we listen to somebody, I think he's born again, but we look at how he acts, his actions, I'm not sure if he's born again. We call them hypocrites. What we say and what we act should be the same. It should not be different. Everybody could talk the good things. We talk the good things. We give testimonies. But we don't act like a Christian. That's wrong. "I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I have eternal life. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Behold, look at what? We are not perfect, but we have to have something to show to other people. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that all those who believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. A sinner that is bound to hell does not perish and has eternal life. Isn't this a very surprising thing? A sinner bound to hell, As soon as he knew the grace of God, he does not go to hell and has eternal life. In John 5, it says, those, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. From death into life. The destiny has changed. The train to hell changed to the train to heaven. This is an amazing event. This is not made up by man. This is the word of God. Acts 26 verse 18, it says, I send you to let them open their eyes. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. A person blind from birth being able to open their eyes, isn't that amazing? We are born as blind people, not being able to see the glory of God. We see the creation of God, but we didn't know God before. We see the stars, but do not know the Creator. Those with wisdom see what is behind everything. Oh, who made this world? Oh, who made this? When we look at a nice picture, oh, who drew this? When you see something well made, you see the person behind that creation, right? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. The Bible says, but people can't see, God can't see, judgment can't see, hell, they don't know eternal life. But when we were born again, our eyes opened. What we couldn't see with our eyes, we can now see. Our eyes are enlightened more and more. You know, the eagle can see kilometers outside. Our eyes are so narrow-sighted, right? We can't see far away. And we can't see the future. The Word of God shows us the future, but our eyes are covered by the world, by the things of the world. We are so nearsighted. People cannot see the holy things of God. We open our eyes towards the world and living in the world, but we are so nearsighted for the things of God. When we are born again, our eyes are opened. We are changed from darkness to light. Darkness and light are completely different. Hell is eternal darkness. Heaven has no darkness at all. Before we were born again, we wandered in darkness. But now, we are in the light. And from the power of Satan to God. You know, this is a very surprising event. We became a new creation. Isn't that amazing? Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 21. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. I will read. Verse 21. If indeed you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now it says, the old things have passed away, and behold, a new all things are new. Now we are a new man. We are a new creation. Now we are born again as the prince, the son of the king. Now if we are born as the prince now, we should be educated to become a king, right? Nobody can be born to act like a prince. We became the son of God. Do we act like the son of God as soon as we were born again? Before we were darkness, we are now turned to light. If we want to act like the children of light, we have to learn what is living like the children of light. We became a new thing, but like the truth is in Jesus, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, we have to listen and learn. We have to read, listen, learn. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. What is the old man? The old nature, the sinful nature. We have to put off our old nature. Let's say that there is a larva in this puddle. For a year and a half, the larva takes off its skin and then becomes a dragonfly after taking off the skin for like 4 times. And just like that, we have to take off our old man. You put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt. We have to throw away our old habits, our bad habits, our bad temper, our bad things. Our former conduct we have to put off. If we keep putting it on, we cannot change. We have to put off the old man and our old conducts. Put off the old man. The larva after 7 years becomes a cicada. To become a cicada, it needs 7 years of preparing. It takes off skin, becomes a cicada, and flies to the air. We have to put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We became a new man. What does it say? What does it mean to put on the new man? It means that this is an ongoing process. Old things have passed away. Behold, a new thing. All things are new. Are you completely new now? We are completely a new man, born again, the children of God, people for heaven. But, we need the personality of a Christian. Our life has to change like a person who deserves heaven. If you became a prince, you have to learn how to act like a prince and live like one. Put on the new man. Some people, even if it's like a year, 3 years, 5 years, 20 years after he's born again, he cannot put off the old man. 2 reasons. Either he is sick or something is wrong. Maybe he's not born again from the beginning. More and more, continuously, we have to grow up and change. We have to be renewed every day. The more we see that day coming close, when we see the day of the new heaven and new earth coming closer every day, what do we have to do? We have to look at that day and desire it with holy conduct. Let's say that a woman got the marriage date, and as the date of marriage comes closer, the bride makes herself cleaner. She makes herself cleaner, her appearance and also her insides. And the groom comes in and the bride comes in. But she didn't wash herself that day, on the date of marriage. And she has rags all over herself and has dust all over her face. Then the groom will run away, right? Oh, I thought she was nice. She's a crazy lady. No, we will learn one by one. But we are the bride of Christ. In Revelation 19, it says the bride of Christ is prepared. She is wearing a white and clean, a shining clothes. This is the rightful deeds of Christians. Now, we should be renewed day by day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, after verse 9, it says, "Don't you know that those who are unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven?" Those who do not do the nice things and commit sin, they cannot receive the kingdom of heaven. There were people like this among you as well, but by the grace of Christ and the Holy Spirit, you became clean. Although we did not live like the sinners who did really bad things in the world, we changed. We have to change day by day according to the Holy Spirit. We should live like a born-again Christian every day. More and more, we should put off the old man and put on the new man. There is a new heaven and a new earth, and God made us a new creation to enter the new heaven and earth. So the church is a place that nurtures and raises up the born-again Christians. It is a place that teaches the prince to become a king. The church is a place that trains Christians to become the citizens of heaven. So we should know what the status of a born-again is and what the life is of a born-again Christian. Are we living like a born-again Christian? We should learn and live like that every day. Let's pray. Our merciful Father in heaven, we are living in the end times you have planned, and in these times you have saved us. And you put us inside your bodily church where you work together with. We have fellowship with you and our brothers and sisters. We serve you together and we grow up by your word. And we desire the day you will come back. We thank you for letting us live our Christian life with you. We are still so weak and foolish. We have the old man inside us. Please help us put off the old man. Let us follow you more and more every day. Make us righteous people to enter your kingdom of heaven. Please change our life, our personality. You made us a new creation, and we thank you. Now, let us live as a new creation. Please renew us every day. Make us holy every day. And now, a week later, we have the Grand Bible Seminar. Please let many lost souls be saved, and let it be a glory to you. Please use each and every one of us according to your good will. We pray it in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing hymns. Hymns 210.